title of today's message? What's your walk like? Let's pray. Lord, as we look at your word today, speak to our hearts and cause each and every one of us to change wherever we need to change in order to become more like Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed how much you can tell about a person simply from the way that they walk? If you see a young lady walking down the street with her head up in the air, walking like this, you think one thing about her. The moment she puts one hand on her hip and swings a little bit from side to side, something entirely. As long as you see her walking down the street like this, you think one thing about him. But if he's walking like this, you're thinking something else about him. The old Mike. With it until I finish walking. And finally, if you see a brother walking down the street like this, you know he's still stuck in the 70s. The ladies. Amen. Got that walk from the 70s. You are at the gas station, and you spot someone across the street coming at you walking real fast, and you don't know the person. What are you ought to do? You need to stop pumping that gas and get back into your car.
You need to spray it with the gas.
Some of the things want to spray them with the gas. Well, at least they didn't say throw a match on them after you spray. Whoa. It might be hot in here, but we don't need to take that all the way to the sermon. We look and we learn a lot about people and their intentions from the way they walk. And the Bible compares the Christian lifestyle to a walk. And a walk involves not only moving from point A to point B, but also how we actually get from A to B. And just like any walker is being observed by others to see what their intentions are, somebody is observing us to see what's going on inside of us. Now, we find in the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, the challenge is to walk worthy in the Lord. Some of the newer translations use the word live instead of walk, but the meaning is the same. Now, how many of you have seen a movie or a cartoon in which somebody is trying to make up their mind about something and there's a little devil sitting over here on this shoulder whispering one thing and a little angel over here whispering in another one, trying to get the person to do something else? You know, it really would be nice if that's how life really happened, because then you would always know which one of them you're listening to. But in real life, many things that seem harmless at first cause us to walk in a direction we wish we had not of gone. The situation can change very quickly from trying to be nice to somebody to finding yourself in an absolute mess. How many of you have walked and co-signed for somebody and wish to God you had never met them in your life? How many of you done loaned somebody your car and that car did not come back like it went away from you? How many of you have walked on somebody being nice on a date and you wish you had never seen that person in all of your life? One thing about walking is it's good to know where you're headed. It's good to know the best way to get there And it's good to know what to watch out for along the way. And sometimes we can't keep going the way we used to. My wife bought this beautiful little wooden thing that I guess she sit on in the bathroom when she, oh, it's a stool. Beautiful wooden stool, absolutely gorgeous. And she got it sitting there, and when I get up to go to the bathroom at night, I got my own set path. I can walk to that thing with no problem. Well, the other night, I had not accounted for that stool. And I walked into the back, and I woke up in a hurry when that thing hit me on the foot. She told me the next morning, she didn't say anything because she didn't hear me hit the floor. But not all pathways that we get on end up where we think they are going to end. Now, if you want to go in a straight line, you need to have a fixed point, all right, so that you can see exactly where it is that you are headed. Now, how many of you here ever did any wallpapering? Few of y'all have done wallpapering. Now, the smart way to do wallpapering is you measure one side and put a mark, and then you measure the other side and put a mark. The wrong way to wallpaper is to measure one side and say, yeah, this look like a straight line. And you draw over to that straight line, and then when you get ready to put your wallpaper up, you notice your straight line goes like this. And the paper fits over here, but it doesn't fit over there, because you did not have a correct fixed point. Now, we as Christians, the Bible tells us, as we walk this Christian lifestyle, we are to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That means no matter what our situation is, our goal is to keep a straight line between us and Jesus. So we are always trying to get to Jesus. For instance, if you and someone in your home is having a disagreement, your ultimate goal is not to win the argument. Your ultimate goal is to get to Jesus as soon as possible. Now, if you are trying to get to Jesus, this immediately ends some of the options you thought you had at your disposal. If your goal is to get to Jesus, how many of you know you are limited in what you can and cannot say? You are limited in the way that you can say it. You are limited in what you can and cannot do. It's not because the other person deserves special treatment. It's because you are trying to keep a straight line between you and Jesus. The other person might be as wrong as can be, but it is because we have been called to have our walk line up straight with Jesus that we are doing this for Jesus. Now, that I've got us straight on that. If you are anything like me, you are going to be tempted to stop focusing your eyes on Jesus and start focusing on something else. And that something else is usually ourselves. Now, how many of you have had the experience of sitting in a car while somebody else was driving and they decided to turn their head off the road? They're looking back here, and when they do, what happened to your blood pressure in your eyes? They get turn your eyes back on the road. Why? Because when we take our eyes off the road, we can kill not only ourselves, but somebody innocent who's out there just minding their own business. And the same thing happens when we take our eyes off of Jesus as we are walking this Christian walk. We start to hurt ourselves and hurt others and don't even realizing what's taking place. Now, most of the time when we take our eyes off of Jesus, it's for something temporary. In our Old Testament reading this morning in the book of Proverbs, we find a young man who had been trained well by his mom, by his father, and they had given him instructions on how to live his life and what was going to be beneficial to him. They gave him a warning. They said, look, son, some of the people you think are your friends are going to come and try to entice you. Entice me. They're going to make something sound really, really good. Give you a really good option to get you to stop walking the straight path. But whatever you do, do not give in to them. Now, you know, when we are young, we take this thing of choosing our friends as a sacred right. I can remember as a teenager getting darn right upset because my mother told me she did not want me hanging around certain ones of my friends. Any of y'all went through that with y'all's parents? Any of y'all went through that with y'all's kids? I can remember laying in bed thinking, how dare she tell me who I can have as my friends? How to be able to hang with who I want to hang with? She don't even know my friends like I know them. You know something? She did not know my friends like I knew them, but she did know about life. And few things influence our walk for the Lord as much as the friends we choose to be with. They are going to entice us to become more like them. When I see our young people hanging out on the corners with the people at the stores and hanging outside the stores, and they tell me, I ain't doing nothing. But you know what? I done seen a whole lot more of them be drawn out of the church to the corner than I've seen friends that they've pulled off the corner into the church. Now, this young man in Proverbs was invited to become part of a gang. Gangs are nothing new, and what they have to offer today is no more than what they had to offer then. They invited this man to come join them. This young man, come join us. They had plans to jump some innocent people, give them a beat down. Some of them they planned to kill. They were going to take their property. They were going to burglarize homes. They were going to get rich in the process from the crimes they committed. They were going to be like family to each other and share in all this wonderful money they were going to have. All this young man had to do was to come and walk with them in their scheme. Wouldn't have to worry about going to school, wouldn't have to worry about finding a job, wouldn't have to worry about needing money. All he had to do was simply come and walk with them. Get the tattoo mark, wear the colors, hang out at their place. And this young man's parents pleaded with him, saying, please do not go along with them and do not set your foot on the road they are walking on. Those people are destroying their own lives and setting up ambushes for themselves. You see, my friends, whenever we go after something that God has made clear we need to leave alone, we are going to lose some of the very life that God intended for us to have. Just think, when those four guys robbed those two guys downtown and killed one and severely wounded the other, they had no idea when they started walking on that path that they would be caught as quickly as they were caught. They had no idea they might be charged and be looking at the death penalty. But what they did was already perfectly described right here in the book of Proverbs in chapter 1. It all started with how they were walking that day. You know, we all need to listen when someone tells us, I really don't think it's a good idea for you to keep hanging out with that group or with that person or in that place. You see, other people may have an ability to see something going on that we are either blind to or we've chosen not to see it. We say, that could never happen to me. Now, if someone that loves us enough to tell us the truth about our walk, and our response is, don't you tell me who I can be with, or where I can go, or which group I can join, then perhaps we need to check ourselves and check in with Jesus. And be courageous enough to ask God, Lord, what do they see that I am missing? And what price am I going to pay if I neglect the warning? Sometimes we think, if I'm around them long enough, I may be able to turn that person around. I may be able to help her out. Well, if that's what you're saying, are you also committed to running away from them as soon as possible when you discover they're having a negative effect on you? They're having a negative effect on your family. Some people are never going to turn around because they do not want to be turned around. In life sharing this week, we were in Philippians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul was writing this book from jail, and he was not sure if he was going to be released from jail or if he was going to have his head cut off for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he leaves us with a challenge in verse 27. He says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, the literal meaning of conduct yourselves is, as a citizen of heaven, live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. You know, if you are a Christian, you are a citizen of heaven. You ought to represent the place that you come from. Now, when Paul writes, whatever happens, he's facing a life and death situation. He could be placed with his head on a chopping block and that thing rolling down off the steps. His eyes were focused on Christ in his walk for the Lord. So when he said, whatever, that whatever carried a whole lot of weight. Whatever circumstances you or I find ourselves in today, we are to be living as citizens of heaven. Tell your neighbor, you're a citizen. Citizens. So we ought to be trying to live like it. But you know what a lot of us are doing? We're trying to get an exemption for why we do not have to walk worthy of Christ in our particular situation. Some of us may be thinking, but you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how I suffered. You don't know what they took from me. You're absolutely right. I do not know what it was. But how many of you know that's not a reason for you to get down to their level? It is going to be in fixing our eyes on Jesus that we are going to find our redemption and our deliverance. How many of you gave somebody a piece of your mind and it felt good at the moment, but you regretted it the very next day? Wish you had never said it. Especially when you got the spanking of your life. Especially when you got fired from your job. Especially when they didn't have nothing else to do with you. Jesus knows exactly what you're going through. And Jesus says, walk worthy. But they cussed me out. Walk worthy. But he made fun of me. Walk worthy. I had already told them to stop 10 times before. Walk worthy. It's not easy trying to walk worthy because our walk is based on what Christ desires of us and not merely what we desire of ourselves. We find in Colossians 1:10, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him. Say him. Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And one of the things we do need to constantly remind ourselves of is, who is our Lord? Jesus is supposed to be the Lord. And as Lord, he gets to sit up on the throne. How many of y'all know sometime when he ain't looking, we come and push him off the seat and sit back up there ourselves? And we, somebody said, even while he looking, we push him off. Off the throne. And when we get up there, we start thinking we are supposed to be able to please ourselves. But this verse confirms the goal is to please Christ in all respects. You know, every time I feel like complaining about something, it's usually got something to do with, I am not happy about this situation. I don't check in with God to find out if God is all right with it or not. I just know I am not happy with it. Times we have a tendency to forget what's really important, and we start to dwell on things that really do not matter that much in the huge scheme of things. You know, when it comes to the church, anybody can find fault with the church. That's Satan's job. Unfortunately, some of us are eager to volunteer to help him out. But that's not walking worthy of the Lord, seeking to please him in all respects. To walk worthy of the Lord is to seek to please the Lord. It involves building up the church, building up those in it. You know, somebody will go home and talk about how an usher ushered and what they did wrong and whatever. How many of you know that is of less significance than how you worshiped God while you were in the service that day? How you help improve the life of the church that particular day? God is looking for people who are willing to please him. And I want us to know that God wants to use our homes, say homes, homes, as an opportunity to please the Lord. God's major workplace for conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ is in our homes. The home is where God wants us to put our priority. Do not sacrifice your home to help somebody else out. Make sure you are doing what you need to do at home before you run across town to help somebody else. Because those people at home are the people that's going to be there at your funeral. Them people you killing yourself for, they going to be long gone. And you did what when? So work to build your home as a believer first. The scripture says, whoever does not take care of home is worse than an unbeliever. Now, the thing is, when we help somebody outside, they usually give us more appreciation and say all these wonderful things about us and all that. So we like doing that. Sometimes they don't, but sometimes... And at home, sometimes we just kind of take each other for granted. And so we go running out looking for this, that, and the other thing, and we're missing the gifts that God has already given us. And when we start loving each other more at home, it's going to make a huge difference in the life of the church. We need to each be asking, what am I doing to make this family more of what God wants this to be? And when everybody is asking this question, the quality of the life at home goes up. Now, if we are walking worthy of the Lord at home, how many of you know that means volunteering to do more than your fair share? You cannot walk through. I did this yesterday. I ain't picking that thing up. How long will it take to bend down and get it? We can get so upset over things that don't really, really matter. I'm sick and tired of them leaving these cabinets open. How long does it take? Just wait till they come home. I'm going to tell them about them cabinets. You just wait. Really doesn't matter. You know, all those football games I went to at Shaw High School, you know what I remember the most about those football games? I remember halftime. And the reason I remember halftime is Samantha was a cheerleader. And every halftime, she would come up those steps and come over and say, "Dad, you got a dollar." And I would give her a dollar. And then you know what? She graduated. And I was at those games, and I was thinking, sure would be nice to have her come up these steps again and say, Dad, you got a dollar. Now, see, I thought I was going to the games to watch the games. But God was giving me a memory that I'd treasure forever. Take care of home first. To walk worthy of the Lord means there are some things we are not going to bring into our homes. Now, those of you who live in the Cleveland area, you know in the spring, there are these beautiful creatures. They are black with a white stripe down their back. Have any of you ever tried to capture one to bring them inside of your house? Hope did, and we all paid for it. Nobody tries to capture this little beautiful creature. Why? It stinks. And if you get that thing in your house, the whole house is gonna stink. Now, the attitudes that we walk around with in our homes are like odors. They are either sweet and smelling like perfume, or they smell like that skunk. And everybody in the house is affected to some degree or another. When we are walking to please Christ, which of the two aromas are we going to be spreading through the house? Now, most of us, we're like a wonderful, sweet-smelling rose for the Lord when we're at church. I look out there at y'all and I say, ooh, man, look at them beautiful Christians over there. Ooh, man, I sure would like to live with people like these people. Look how sweet they are for Jesus. And we smell good until we leave the church door. Put that old attitude back on. How many of y'all that left church walking with Jesus? Hallelujah. And by the time you pulled out the parking lot, wasn't nobody speaking to anybody in the car. How many of you know we can still be pleasant even if we don't get our own way? And how many of you know God can work a miracle in the process if we're willing to just say yes to God and be used with a positive attitude? We sing that song. I want to be more like you, Jesus. I want to be more like you. I want to be a vessel you work through. I want to be more like you. How many of you know it only happens when we choose to walk worthy right where we are? There is no big thing that's going to happen to you that's going to make you more like Jesus. It's when you wake up in the morning and you're starting your day. That's when you're deciding whether you're going to be more like Jesus or not. God's going to give us all the opportunity. How many of you know there's a way to walk worthy in your chores? You ain't running through them things as quick as you possibly can, leaving dirt every which way but loose. How many of you know there's a way to walk worthy in the classroom? Way to walk worthy for Christ in the boardroom, in the bedroom, in the family room, the computer room, the TV room. We need to be walking worthy in each of these rooms. This is where we really need our lights to shine. I hear so many people say, well, you know, I just don't know much about the Bible. And my response is, why not? It's not that the Bible is that difficult to read in today's modern translation. It's not that difficult to understand. If you're walking worthy, you're reading the Word to learn what it says. You're coming together with other believers to learn. Can you imagine going to a mechanic to have your car fixed and the mechanic saying, "Well, I don't know much about your car, but I'm going to do the best that I can." How many of y'all going to the next station in a hurry? Somebody come to you as a Christian. "Well, what does the Bible?" "Well, I don't know much about the Bible." "Well, be quiet then. Let me go find somebody that does." The Bible is the most important book we have to prepare us for life here on earth and for eternity to come. Too many of us are wondering what it might say. Well, why don't we just open it up and read it? Why don't we become a part of a life-sharing group every now and then? You don't have to worry about, "Well, I'm going to be embarrassed. I don't know enough." Most of us don't know enough. That's why we come. And a whole lot of what we knew, we done forgot. So it's fresh and new to us as well. You're the kind of person we want to specialize in. You see, if you would allow the Bible to sink into you, you sitting with your brothers and sisters, you'll see a transformation start to take place in your life. If each family took one concept from a life-sharing class and just worked on that one concept all week, we would have families that loved each other more. And you see, when you have strong families, you have a stronger church. Because when you come together at church, you're not talking about your family. You're building them up. You're looking for ways to build up the church. When Jesus called us, Jesus said, "Come follow me." In other words, come observe what I do and do it. Watch how I talk and talk it. Watch me walk and walk it. Watch me serve and serve. Watch me grow closer to the Father and grow yourself. We are all giving off a message to the world about Jesus by the way we walk. What's your walk really like? Are your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith? Or do you need to pray like I need to pray? "Lord, open my eyes and show me where I'm missing the mark, where I've stepped off the path, where I still need to make a change." When God shows it to you today, make up your mind, "I'm going to do something about that this week, starting today." Let's pray. God, your call and your desire is for us to walk worthy. We confess, oh God, that there are times when we take our eyes off of you and we think we're still walking in a straight line and we don't realize how much we're missing the mark. We ask your forgiveness, and we thank you for your grace. Lord, if there's one here today that does not know you as Lord and Savior of their life, show them that there's a path they can walk on that leads to eternal life, and that life begins right now.